From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, November 2nd, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
With 84 new cases today, Maine's positivity rate for COVID-19 has risen above 1%, and one more person has died, a woman in her 80s, from Androscoggin County. Starting today, tenants having trouble paying their rent due to hardship caused by COVID-19 can apply for assistance under a new round of relief funding. The COVID-19 Rental Relief Program through Maine Housing is now accepting applications from people who need help paying their rent through October and November. Renters impacted by COVID-19 can apply for up to $1,000 a month to put toward their rent. Maine Housing says it has assisted about 14,000 renters with funds since the program's creation in April. And a federal inspection report from August found that Central Maine Medical Center in Lewiston failed to implement all possible strategies to control the transmission of COVID-19. The report also concluded that the hospital failed to ensure a sanitary environment. Patty White has more.
Surveyors visited Central Maine Medical Center in late July and early August, where they witnessed several employees entering the hospital without wearing face masks. They also documented the hospital's failure to take the temperature of staff and visitors and found unsanitary conditions in the intensive care unit. Those conditions included dried brown liquid on the floor of rooms, tubing from IV machines touching the floor, and overflowing trash cans. Chief Medical Officer Dr. John Alexander says the failures cited in the report were isolated incidents, and at the time, Central Maine Medical Center was dealing with an outbreak at a local nursing facility that had extended into the hospital.
And we had gotten to the point during that outbreak where we had almost 50 team members who were out on quarantine, and we had gotten to the point where we had 4 ICU nurses who were alternating shifts for a few days until we could bring in some additional reinforcements. So we were really at a stretched capacity.
Ultimately, 2 patients and 15 staff tested positive. Alexander says CMMC owns the failures detailed in the report. He says they've been resolved and that the hospital has duplicated surveillance to make sure protocols are followed to prevent the spread of COVID-19. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And looking at weather tonight, mostly cloudy and calm with snow showers in the south, lows in the mid-teens to the low 30s. Tomorrow, partly sunny and breezy with highs in the low 30s to mid-40s. And Wednesday, partly sunny in the mountains, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy. High turnout and high tension have led to deep concerns about the integrity of the election that will reach a crescendo tomorrow. In Maine, advocacy groups and election staff are working to ensure that citizens come away knowing their votes count and will actually be counted. Fred Bever has our story.
Lara Rosen used to canvass for Democratic candidates in the Portland area, but this year she got a new gig.
This year I became really motivated to get involved in nonpartisan work related to ensuring the integrity of our elections.
Rosen is volunteering as a poll watcher for the League of Women Voters.
Because it's not a partisan issue and really making sure that every voter is able to cast their ballot and have their vote count is what's really driving me this election.
Rosen says once the polls open, she expects to visit several in Cumberland County, acting as a neutral observer of the process.
We're trained to look for intimidation is certainly one of them. But also just are people leaving the lines because they're too long? Are people running into issues with registering? Are COVID safety precautions being followed?
This is the first year that the League has launched a comprehensive poll watching effort here. Local director Anna Keller says a small pilot project during the July primaries went well, and now, well, more than 100 people in Maine have volunteered for the general election.
And overall, Maine elections are conducted very well. Our town clerks do a great job.
Keller says the League expects that most problems that might crop up will be minor. But in today's overheated political environment, Keller says there are concerns about ad hoc poll watchers creating tensions in or outside voting places. And the league is assigning some poll watchers to specific municipalities where there's a recent history of hate crimes.
We're not expecting there to be big disturbances or militia people or any of that, but there's a possibility of it. And so our observers are going to be looking out for any attempt at intimidation, people driving a truck into a parking lot with blaring loud music and flags, like this, any different scale of things that could be attempted.
Keller says local election wardens are pre-planning with local law enforcement to ensure security. In Bangor, Warden Kathy LeMann says she's heard from a lot of overly nervous voters.
Unfortunately, a lot of media or outside people, you know, they've stirred things up and caused people to question things. And I honestly can say I totally believe in the integrity of the process here in Bangor.
Instead of skullduggery or intimidation, LeMann says she's focused on making sure that Bangor's big voting hall, downtown's Cross Insurance Arena, is properly sectioned off to ensure social distancing. And she says even with this year's record absentee voting, election day turnout should still be strong.
Usually we do have one or two officers on hand. I think this year there may be a couple more simply because of volume.
In addition to election workers and volunteers, there are other resources voters can turn to if they have concerns. The main chapter of the ACLU, for instance, is running a voter protection hotline. And in addition to their usual get-out-the-vote efforts, the major parties have been training volunteers to look for irregularities as well. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says he's seen no evidence of an organized effort to disrupt Maine's election. He adds, though, that something new crops up every year.
You know, we have had conversations with, you know, the governor's office, public safety, the attorney general's office, emergency management, and what we are preparing is sort of a quick phone train where if a warden gets a situation they're having a hard time managing, they can call us and we can get them directly to a resource within minutes.
League of Women Voters observers like Lara Rosen say their best role in all this may be to bear witness to the essential validity of the election.
A source that everybody can trust, nonpartisan, that can help us say, like, yes, we had our elections. They were fair. They went smoothly. And we can provide that validation. And I think that's, you know, what we're hoping is going to happen. We're pretty confident that that's what it's going to be.
Some polls in Maine will open as early as 6 a.m., with state law requiring all to be up and running by 10 a.m. The polls close at 8 p.m. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock, where we'll hear from voters, reporters, and election officials about Election Day. I'm Nora Flaherty.